Demonology Part 1. Demons. As we have learned, it appears that demons originated from a creation before man, for they are obviously not fallen angels. As we have said, the strongest evidence to suggest that they once had their own bodies actually lies in the fact that they constantly seek to embody, to live in, the flesh of people or animals. Scripture tells us of this, and also shows us that ever since the fall of Adam, a spiritual battle has been raging for the possession of men's minds, bodies and spirits. Matthew 12:43. When the unclean spirit, demon, is gone out of a man, he, the unclean spirit, walks through dry places, seeking rest, and finding none. Matthew 12:44. Then he says, I will return into my house from whence I came out, and when he, the evil spirit, is come, he finds it empty, swept, and garnished, empty of the light of the word of God. Matthew 12:45. Then goes he, and takes with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Mark 5:12. And all the devils, demons, besought him, Jesus, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. Mark 5:13. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, permission. And the unclean spirits went out, and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, they were about 2,000, and were choked, drowned, in the sea. Thus the Bible teaches that apart from Satan, who is the prince and god of this world, John 14:30, 2 Corinthians 4:4, and the evil angelic powers, there are evil spirits who have lesser degrees of authority and power. Their designation as demons is derived from the Greek word daimon, which means a supernatural spirit, of bad nature, devil. The nature of demons. Demons have personalities just as humans have personalities, but as spirit beings they cannot normally be seen with the mortal, natural, eye. These fallen spirit beings desire to inhabit physical bodies in order to express their natures and personalities in the physical realm. It is also possible that they have been designated and commissioned by the rulers and powers of the kingdom of darkness to promote certain evils specific to themselves and given power to do so. The following scriptures give examples of this kind of indwelling evil, and its consequence in the lives of ordinary people. Mark 9:17. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto you my son, who has a dumb spirit, which operates to cause the boy not to be able to speak. Mark 9:18. And wheresoever he, the evil spirit, takes him, he tears him, and he foams, and gnashes with his teeth, and pines away, and I spoke to your disciples that they should cast him, the evil spirit, out, and they could not. Mark 9:25. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, You dumb and deaf spirit, I charge, command, you, come out of him, and enter no more into him, never return. Important in the light of Luke 11:24 26. Luke 13:11. And, behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself, stand up straight. Matthew 17:15. Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic. The Greek word is psilaesimai, which means moonstruck, referring to a type of epilepsy, and sore vexed, suffers greatly, for oft times he falls into the fire, and often into the water, with seizures. Matthew 17:18. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. As we can see, demons are malevolent beings who desire to express particular aspects of character, or types of thinking, which are harmful to human beings. They actively promote that which is contrary to God's word, and even though not every deformity or problem is caused directly by demons, e.g., blindness, deafness, etc., there are demons for every disease, every evil trait and every erroneous doctrine known to man. As fallen spirit beings, demons are absolutely and irretrievably evil, and are eternally separated from God. Their prime motive, as with their leader, is to damage and destroy, if possible, what God has created and loves. Their hatred is thus directed in particular towards human beings, the crown of God's creation and the object of his love. Jesus and his disciples believed in demons. Jesus bore witness to the existence of demons as he constantly dealt with them throughout his ministry. Addressing them by name, Jesus cast them out of human sufferers, and gave his disciples authority to do likewise. Matthew 8:16 When the even was come, they brought unto him many who were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits, demons, with his word, and healed all who were sick. Matthew 10:1 And when he, Jesus, had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits, to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Luke 9:1 Then he called his 12 disciples together, and gave them power and authority over all devils, demons, and to cure diseases, heal the sick. Mark 16:17 And these signs shall follow them who believe, in my name shall they cast out devils, demons. The casting out of demons is one of the signs Jesus said would accompany believers. It is obvious from Scripture that Jesus regarded demons as real spiritual beings and not just the invention of superstitious Jewish imaginations. Today demons are still real and active, and need to be addressed, according to the Spirit's leading and empowerment, both in the lives of individuals and on a corporate basis through spiritual warfare. The teaching of Jesus and the apostles in regard to demons. 1. They testified to their existence. Luke 4:33 And in the synagogue there was a man, who had a spirit of an unclean devil, and, the demon, cried out with a loud voice, using the man's voice. Luke 4:34 Saying, Let us alone, what have we to do with you, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Are you come to destroy us? I know you who you are, the Holy One of God. As a spiritual being, the demon knew who Jesus was, and that he had power over him. Luke 4:35 And Jesus rebuked him, the demon, saying, Hold your peace, be quiet, and come out of him, the Lord commanded. And when the devil had thrown him down in their midst, he came out of him, and hurt him not, without harming him. Revelation 9:20 And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils, and idols of gold, and silver, and brass, and stone, and of wood, which neither can see, nor hear, nor walk. Here we find that demons which indwell people can speak, that they have intelligence and that they know that Jesus possessed power over them as part of the kingdom of darkness. Often they identified him as the Christ, and he rebuked them and suffered them not to speak, e.g., Luke 4:41. The evil spirits recognized Jesus' power, authority and identity, even though the religious leaders did not. We see also that these beings are worshipped, in place of God. Also note that every false religion is promoted and cultivated by demonic powers, and those who worship idols or profess false religion, are indirectly paying homage to demons. This differs from some who are involved in the occult and worship Satan or his underlings directly, e.g., as occurs with tribal spiritualism or witchcraft. 2. They described their nature. Matthew 10:1 And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, before sending them out on a special mission, he gave them power against unclean spirits, to cast them out. Luke 4:36 And they were all amazed, and spoke among themselves, saying, What a word is this! What teaching is this? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out. All demons or devils are unclean, being evil and impure in nature. As permanent members of the kingdom of darkness, there is no light or goodness in them at all. 3. They described their purpose and actions. Luke 13:11 And, behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity, which caused her problem, 18 years, and was bowed together, bowed over, and could in no wise lift up herself, straighten her back. Demons promote sickness, disease and human suffering. 1 Timothy 4:1 Now the Holy Spirit speaks expressly, that in the latter times, the last days, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, often religious spirits, and doctrines of devils, false teaching inspired by demons. Revelation 16:14. They are spirits of devils, demon spirits, working miracles, performing miraculous signs to deceive people, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and the whole world, to gather them to the battle, against God, the battle of Armageddon, of that great day of God Almighty. One of the primary aims of demons is also to deceive the hosts of humanity so that they fail to recognize God or to worship Him. Note that the indwelling demon spirits in Revelation 16:14 are organizing people to commit great evil, to engage nations to join the Antichrist in the battle of Armageddon with the purpose of destroying Israel. 4. They indicated that they can indwell human beings, and can be expelled from them. Matthew 9:32. As they went out, behold, they brought to him, Jesus, a dumb man possessed with a devil, a demon which had caused him to be mute. Matthew 9:33. And when the devil, demon, was cast out, the dumb man spoke, and the multitudes marveled, saying, It was never so seen in Israel, such a miracle was unheard of. Matthew 17:18. And Jesus rebuked the devil, demon, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Jesus had power and authority over demons and the powers of darkness. Demons can be expelled from human beings provided certain conditions are usually met, i.e., faith, repentance, willingness. This is one method of deliverance. Another way of expelling demons is through the washing of the mind by the water of the Word of God. This not only cleanses the mind, but as we act on the renewal gained, we can also be cleansed of all unrighteousness which has had legal ground prior to this, and was engaged in promoting wrong thoughts and desires, e.g., unrighteous anger, lust. 5. They indicated that they are organized under Satan. Matthew 12:24. But when the Pharisees heard it, that the people were calling Jesus son of David, they said, This fellow does not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, Satan, the prince of the devils. This was a stupid statement, anything rather than recognize Jesus' righteous work. They couldn't deny his power, but claimed it came from Satan. Matthew 12:25. And Jesus knew their thoughts, and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, destruction, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. The idea of the statement is that Satan does not oppose himself. He does not possess one with an evil spirit and then cast out that spirit, e.s.b. Matthew 12:26. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself, how shall then his kingdom stand? Here Jesus identifies Satan as head of the kingdom of darkness. Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, our enemy is not natural, not human, but spiritual, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, speaks of the organization in various levels of authority of the kingdom of darkness. The word tells us that the kingdom of darkness is highly organized and that we are involved in spiritual war against this unseen kingdom. Demons are organized under Satan's dominion, within the kingdom of darkness. They are his subjects, his representatives, his underlings, the soldiers in his army of wickedness. Their job is to oppress, bind and destroy humanity in every possible way, to both hold people in bondage, and ensnare them so that they sink into deeper levels of sin and bondage. 6. They spoke about their final place of abode. Matthew 25:41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, the lake of fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Revelation 20:10. And the devil that deceived them, Satan, was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. This signifies the approaching end of the devil's influence, for the lake of fire will be his eternal destiny. Even the demons know that they have an appointed time of judgment. For example, we find them speaking through the demon-possessed men. Are you, Jesus, come hither to torment us before the time? Matthew 8:29. Their final abode will be the lake of fire, along with their infernal master. Interestingly, this verse indicates that the lake of fire was not originally intended for man, but for Satan and his forces of evil. Some Bible names given to demon spirits. The names of demons usually describe the activity or state which they seek to promote or induce in humans. Thus, people who allow themselves to be influenced by or actually indwelt by a particular demon will often demonstrate a defining characteristic of this demon, according to its given mission, whether it be jealousy, lying, resentment, adultery, etc., at least at some point in time. Others will find themselves confused, deceived, or bound by a false religion. Some examples of Bible names given to demons are as follows. 1. Familiar spirits. These spirits familiarize themselves with a human being and communicate with them on a conscious level. Such people can become mediums, or simply receive demonic so-called words of knowledge for those seeking advice, counsel, or understanding. The aim of familiar spirits is always to deceive and take people away from the truth of God's word. Leviticus 26. And the soul who turns after such mediums, as have familiar spirits, and after wizards, to go a-whoring after them, such is spiritual adultery, seeking darkness rather than God. I will even set my face against that soul, and will cut him off from among his people. 2 Kings 23:24. Moreover, the workers with familiar spirits, mediums, and the wizards, and the images, household gods, and the idols, and all the abominations that were spied in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem, did Josiah put away, that he might perform, fulfill the requirements of, the words of the law which were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord, e.g., Leviticus 20:27. 2. Lying spirits. 2 Chronicles 18:22. Now therefore, behold, the Lord has put, aloud, a lying spirit in the mouth of these your prophets, and the Lord has spoken evil, proclaimed disaster, against you, King Ahab. 3. Spirits of infirmity. Luke 13:11. And, behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, bent over, and could in no wise lift up herself, straighten up. Note, sometimes a demon initiates a disease or sickness in a person's body and then leaves after destroying part of its host. This can result in a period of remission concerning that particular illness. Sometimes the demon leaves after only a short time, and may move on to another host. Some sickness and disease, once initiated by a demon, will then continue on unaided. Other types of sickness and disease need continued demonic intervention in order to progress. 4. Dumb and deaf spirits. Mark 9:25. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, You dumb and deaf spirit, I charge, command, you, come out of him, the boy, and enter no more into him, never return. 5. Unclean spirits. This is a general name for demons who are all unclean. Matthew 12:43. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he, the unclean spirit, walks through dry places, seeking rest, and finding none. Mark 1:23. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. This word unclean covers all of Satan's activities. Luke 9:42. And as he, Jesus, was yet a-coming, the devil threw him, the child, down, and tore him, threw him into a convulsion and hurt him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, and healed the child, of the damage done, and delivered him again to his father. 6. Seducing spirits. 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Holy Spirit speaks expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, meaning Christ and Him crucified as the only way of salvation, giving heed to seducing spirits, religious spirits, and doctrines of devils, doctrines inspired by demons. 7. Jealous spirits. Numbers 5:14. And the spirit of jealousy come upon him, and he be jealous, and suspicious, of his wife, and she be defiled, he thinks his wife may have committed adultery, or if the spirit of jealousy come upon him, and he be jealous of his wife, and she be not defiled, his suspicion is unfounded. Scripture only mentions a few types of demons, but they are clearly united in purpose, that being to inflict harm upon, to deceive and to destroy humanity. Indeed, all these types of demons mentioned in scripture will promote bondage in people's lives, either causing them physical sickness, or promoting unclean attitudes and desires, and drawing them away from the truth of God's word in many and various ways, and therefore the light that would deliver them from darkness. Additional information on demons. Demons are not the spirits of dead people or the offspring of angels and men. Neither are they a figment of the imagination of unlearned and superstitious Bible writers, or modern-day Pentecostals. The demons that Jesus and others cast out are not locked into hell but roam the earth today, seeking to influence and embody people. Matthew 8:29 And, behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with you, Jesus, thou Son of God? Are you come hither to torment us before the time, appointed for judgment? Luke 8:31 And they, the demons, besought, begged, him, Jesus, that he would not command them to go out into the deep, the bottomless pit or abyss, Revelation 21:3. Luke 11:24 When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he, the demon who had been cast out, walks through dry places, seeking rest, and finding none, he says, I will return unto my house whence I came out. Luke 11:25 And when he comes, returns, he finds it swept and garnished, empty of the word of God required to fill the vacuum left by his departure. Luke 11:26 Then goes he, having established that re-entry is not a problem, and takes to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in, and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first, his need for deliverance is greater than before. Demons which were on earth in Christ's time still promote evil and attempt to inhabit people's bodies today. This is why some people under hypnosis, or those who yield themselves to familiar spirits, e.g., Acts 16:16 17, Leviticus 19:31, can often remember past lives. This happens because, by operating at either a semi-conscious or yielded state, they are really allowing the demon who lived in someone else's body in a previous era to speak about its memories. This simple truth gives a rational spiritual explanation for the plethora of information and evidence now being used to substantiate the false teaching of reincarnation, a New Age/Hindu/Buddhist belief that takes people away from biblical truth and plunges them deeper into pits of darkness. The Word of God tells us that man only dies once and that after this he must face judgment, Hebrews 9:27. So we can clearly see that reincarnation is a demonic doctrine which lulls people into a false sense of security, that being a succession of earthly existences, and takes them away from the truth of God's word and his gospel of salvation. The devil, at some time in the future, will be bound and cast into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Revelation 21 And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Revelation 22 And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, with the great chain. Revelation 23 And cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. This is the time frame of the millennial kingdom of Christ on the earth, and after that he must be loosed a little season, this time is unspecified. Satan's final abode, as we have seen, will be the lake of fire and brimstone, Matthew 25:41. Revelation 20:10 And the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. This signifies the end of Satan's influence forever in any part of God's creation, where the beast and the false prophet are. They were placed here after the Battle of Armageddon, 1,000 years earlier, Revelation 19:20, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Demons vary in wickedness. Matthew 12:45 Then goes he, the evil spirit, and takes with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Demons believe and tremble, for they know there is one all-powerful God and that there is an appointed time of judgment. James 2:19 You believe that there is one God, you do well, you think you do well, you think this is enough? The devils also believe, there is one God, and tremble. Simply believing there is a God says no more than what demons believe. Proper faith will accept the Lord as one's savior, E.S.B. Note, many people think they are saved because they believe in God. This scripture testifies to the fact that belief in God by itself is insufficient, personal faith is required. Demons have willpower. Matthew 12:43 When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walks through dry places, seeking rest, and finding none. Matthew 12:44 Then he, the unclean spirit, says, I will return into my, claiming ownership of the, house from whence I came out, and when he is come, he finds it empty, swept, and garnished. Demons are organized within the kingdom of darkness, under Satan's rulership. The forces of darkness are controlled by commanders of ascending order, and the motivation behind the control exercised is fear. Ephesians 6:12 For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. This scripture identifies the enemy in our spiritual warfare and describes the organization of the satanic realm for the purpose of destroying God's creation. Colossians 2:15 And having spoiled principalities and powers, Satan and all of his henchmen were defeated at the cross by Christ atoning for all sin. Sin was the legal right Satan had to hold man in captivity. With all sin atoned, he has no more legal right to hold anyone in bondage. E.S.B. He, Jesus, made a show of them openly. What Jesus accomplished at the cross and through his resurrection was visible to the whole universe, and his victory made a public spectacle of his enemies, triumphing over them in it. Though the cross's triumph over sin and death was complete, and his victory over Satan was complete. Ephesians 1:21, Jesus is seated at the right hand of God, far above all principality, and power, and might, and dominion, every part of Satan's kingdom, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. His name is above all names, Philippians 2:10-11. Demons, like their leader, are liars. John 8:44. He was a murderer from the beginning, refers to the fact that Satan originated sin, and sin brings forth death, E.S.B., and abode not in the truth, as Lucifer he dwelled in truth, but his fall and rebellion meant he did not remain in truth, because there is no truth in him, since his fall. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own native language, for he is a liar, and the father of it, father of lies, his was the first. Demons have doctrine, false doctrines which they promote in order to lead men astray. 1 Timothy 4, 1 Now the Spirit speaks expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, and doctrines of devils, false doctrines inspired by demons, whose aim is to lead men astray. Demons are subject to Christ, who has been given all authority and power in heaven and on earth, Matthew 28:18. 1 Peter 3:22 Who, Jesus Christ, is gone into heaven, and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. We can, in Christ, by God's power and authority, bind and loose demons if we meet the conditions of God's word. This of course includes operating in faith. Jesus spoke of this in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew 16:19 And I will give unto you, speaking to all Christians, the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever, evil spirit, you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, by heaven's power, and whatsoever, evil spirit, you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven, by heaven's power. Matthew 18:18 Verily I say unto you, whatsoever, evil spirit, you bind, so as to render it ineffective, on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever, evil spirit, you shall loose, remove from its situation, on earth shall be loosed in heaven, by heaven's power. Sometimes an evil spirit can name itself in the natural realm by using either a person's normal voice, or in some cases an unnatural voice which comes from a person's mouth. We can see an example of this in Scripture. Mark 5:9 And he, Jesus, asked him, What is your name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, a Roman legion consisted of 6,000 soldiers, for we are many, obviously many demons embodied this man. There are two views concerning to whom Jesus was speaking when he asked the question, "What is your name?" Firstly, there is the view that he was speaking to the major demon who lived in the man, and who was speaking on behalf of the others. Alternatively, Jesus may have addressed his question to the demon-possessed man in an attempt to bring him back to a sense of his own personality, separate from the demon/s. Whatever the case, however, Jesus was able to discern whether or not the demon who responded to his question through this man had lied. This point is being made because many people today who use the technique of asking a demon to name itself can be open to deception. They take this technique from scripture, but they, unlike Jesus, cannot always discern whether or not the demon they are seeking information from is lying. Remember that demons do not abide in truth, and the devil is called the father of lies, John 8:44. Therefore it is safer to deal only with God, for given any opportunity, demons will attempt to deceive. We thus need to rely on God in these situations through the gifts of the Spirit, rather than relying on information which comes through a source which is pure darkness and therefore has absolutely no credibility. The existence of demons is established throughout Scripture, and we have concluded from the information available that they most likely have come from the pre-Adamic creation which Satan corrupted. As we have learned, this corruption occurred to such an extent that God, in his righteous anger, pronounced judgment upon this ungodly civilization, and hence, the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. The reality of spiritual warfare. The Word of God tells us that we are involved in spiritual warfare, and that our enemy today is the devil and his forces, as Ephesians 6:12 and 1 Peter 5:8 tell us. Ephesians 6:12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, our foes are not human." However, Satan constantly uses human beings to carry out his dirty work, but against principalities, rulers or beings of the highest rank and order in Satan's kingdom, against powers, the rank immediately below the principalities, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, those who carry out the instructions of the powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. This refers to demon spirits. ESB. 1 Peter 5:8, "Be sober, aware, be vigilant, watchful, because your adversary, enemy, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about, seeking, people lacking knowledge and faith, whom he may devour, destroy." The devil seeks to pervert and destroy all that is good. He does this because he is the personification of evil and hates both God and the crown of his creation, mankind. To help us understand something of Satan's nature and motivation, it could be said that the intensity of God's love for man is only matched by the intensity of Satan's hatred of man. For this reason, he is constantly engaged in promoting deception and unbelief so that as many people as possible will be lured into hell. Indeed, Satan's goal is to block God's will from being done on the earth, to gain revenge on God by keeping people in darkness and entrapping them in worldly pursuits and fleshy pleasures. John 10:10, "The thief comes not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy, all that he can of God's creation." As Christians, we need to realize that we do not have to succumb to the wiles of the enemy. Satan uses evil strategies and ploys to deceive people and keep them in bondage, blinded to the truth. But the only power Satan retains in Christians' lives is that which they give him, through sinning and remaining in ignorance. It is also essential we realize that in ourselves, we have no power to defeat the enemy. Many people try to fight the devil in their own strength, their willpower, and they fail. In Christ, however, when we are living in harmony with God's Word, we can allow God's power into our lives to defeat the enemy. It is therefore not we who deal with the devil, rather, it is God's grace working through us, energizing us and giving us the power we need. Satan and his forces promote all forms of spiritual darkness. They scheme and plot every waking moment, and because they never sleep, this means 24 hours a day. As Eve was enticed and persuaded, so are many others at this present time, for all sorts of different reasons, e.g., the desire for self-rule, self-fulfillment and self-promotion, and an exaggerated view of one's own self-importance. On the other hand, Just as Adam feared losing his wife, many people do things out of fear of being rejected, fear of losing something or someone, fear of man, or just plain fear. For these and so many other numerous reasons, man succumbs to the darkness that Satan and his forces promote. At times these forces seem to add an extra dimension to the darkness that already exists, enriching with stronger evil the atmosphere that sin brings. In any atmosphere of darkness, the sin nature thrives, giving power to the person who has been entangled and entrapped by accepting and even seeking this darkness for reasons based on self, what I want, what will benefit me, etc. The enemy will try to entice us. When that doesn't work, he will seek to heap condemnation upon us by reminding us of all our past sins and current weaknesses. When we have sin in our lives, God will point us to Calvary and the blood to convict us so that we would repent. Then he can forgive our sins and go on to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. He wants to replace all darkness with the light of his word. With this light, the Lord would want us to absorb his graces and energies so we can be at one with him, in faith. Then we can have the mind of Christ in relation to the word in which we have believed and trusted. With this approach, this lifestyle and this relationship, expressed on a daily basis, God can protect, guide and provide for us so that we will not become target practice for the enemy. Not only this, we can also have a two-way conversation with our Heavenly Father, knowing how to approach him, how to talk to him, and how to praise and worship him, the lover of our soul. May you have the victory in Christ. For further information or teaching material to help you grow in the Christian faith, please visit Crossroads International. Full Gospel Ministries. crossroadsministries.org.au